the pits of Hath-Sin, Haddock said. There were obligators on staff at all times, but never inquisitors, for the father knew that they could be corrupted. The obligators broke the geodes in secret, inside of a metal room constructed for the purpose, then took out the atium. The noble family then transported the empty geodes to Luthadel, never knowing that they didn't have any atium in their possession at all. What atium the Lord Ruler did get and distribute to the nobility was brought in by the obligators. They disguised the atium as ministry funds and hid the beads in piles of coins so that Ruin wouldn't see them as they were transported in convoys full of new acolytes to Luthadel.
Sazed stood, dumbstruck.
Here, all along, just a short distance from the very caves where Kelsier raised his army. A short journey from Luthadel, completely unprotected all these years, yet hidden so well. You worked for Atium, Sazed said, looking up. The Chandra contracts, they were paid in Atium.
Haddock nodded.
We were to gather all of it we could. What didn't end up in our hands, the Mistborn burned away. Some of the houses kept small stockpiles, but the father's taxes and fees kept most of the atium flowing back to him as payments. And eventually, almost all of it ended up here.
Sazed looked down.
Such a fortune, he thought. Such power.
Atium never had fit in with the other metals. Every one of them, even aluminum and duralumin, could be mined or created through natural processes. Atium, however, it had only ever come from a single place, its appearance mysterious and strange. Its power had allowed one to do something unlike anything else in Alamancy or Ferrochemy. It let one see the future. Not a thing of men at all. More a thing of gods. It was more than just a metal. It was condensed, consecrated power. Power that Ruin would want. Very badly. Tensoon pushed toward the crest of the hill, moving through ash that was so high that he was glad he had switched to the horse's body, for a wolfhound could never have moved through piles so deep. The ash fell strongly where he was, limiting his visibility.
I will never make it to Fedric's at this rate, he thought with anger.
Even pushing hard, moving in the massive horse's body, he was moving too slowly to get far from the homeland. He finally crested the hill, his breath coming in puffing snorts out the horse's snout. At the top of the hill he froze, shocked. The landscape before him was burning. Tyrion, closest of the Ashmounts to Luthadel, stood in the near distance, half of its top blown free from some violent eruption. The air itself seemed to burn with tongues of flame, and the broad plain in front of Tensoon was clogged with flowing lava. It was a deep, powerful red. Even from a distance he could feel the heat pushing against him. He stood for a long moment, deep in ash, gazing upon a landscape that had once contained villages, forests, and roads. All was gone now, burnt away. The earth had cracked in the distance, and more lava seemed to be spilling out of it.
By the first contract, he thought with despair.
He could detour to the south, continue on to Fadrick's as if he'd come in a straight line from Luthadel. But for some reason he found it hard to get up the motivation. It was too late.
Yes, there are 16 metals. I find it highly unlikely that the Lord Ruler did not know of them all. Indeed, the fact that he spoke of several on the plates in the storage caches meant that he knew at least of those. I must assume that he did not tell mankind of them earlier for a reason. Perhaps he held them back to give him a secret edge,
much as he kept back the single nugget of preservation's body that made men into mistborn. Or perhaps he simply decided that mankind had enough power in the 10 metals they already understood. Some things we shall never know. Part of me still finds what he did regrettable. During the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Ruler, how many people were born, snapped, lived, and died, never knowing that they were mistings, simply because their metals were unknown? Of course, this did give us a slight advantage at the end. Ruin had a lot of trouble giving Duralumin to his inquisitors, since they'd need an allomancer who could burn it to kill before they could use it. And, since none of the Duralumin mistings in the world knew about their power, they didn't burn it and reveal themselves to Ruin. That left most inquisitors without the power of Duralumin, save in a few important cases, such as Marsh, where they got it from a mistborn. This was usually considered a waste. For if one killed a mistborn with hemallergy, one could draw out only one of their 16 powers and lost the rest. Ruin considered it much better to try to subvert them and gain access to all of their power. 72. It began raining just before Vin reached Luthadel, a quiet, cold drizzle that wetted the night but did not banish the mists. She flared her bronze. In the distance, she could sense allomancers, mistborn, chasing her. There were at least a dozen of them, homing in on her position. She landed on the city wall, bare feet slipping just slightly on the stones. Beyond her stretched Luthadel, even now proud in its sprawl. Founded 1,000 years before by the Lord Ruler, it was built atop the Well of Ascension itself. During the 10 centuries of his reign, Luthadel had burgeoned, becoming the most important and most crowded place in all of the Empire. And it was dying. Vin stood up straight, looking out over the vast city. Pockets of flame flared where buildings had caught fire. The flames defied the rain, illuminating the various slums and other neighborhoods like watchfires in the night. In their light, she could see that the city was a wreck. Entire swathes of the town had been torn apart, the buildings broken or burned. The streets were eerily vacant. Nobody fought the fires, nobody huddled in the gutters. The capital, once home to hundreds of thousands, seemed empty. Wind blew through Vin's rain-wetted hair, and she felt